So today we are looking at what? The church family. Say it louder. The church family. You know, the church is a family. It might look or sound simple to you, but it's serious to God. Praise God. It's a big deal to God. We belong to the family of Christ. Glory! Glory! The first scripture for the day, Matthew 16, verse 20. Matthew 16, verse 20. You know, maturity in the Christian faith is learning to place value on what God places value on. When God places value on a thing, as believers, as Christians, it's wise to also place value on it, right? Hallelujah. So if the church is a big deal to God, that means it should also be a big deal to us. True of us? True. Matthew 16, verse 20. We'll read to 23. Let's go. One to go. That they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Okay, the next verse. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. The next verse. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be." Do you know what's happening here? Jesus is telling his disciples, "I'm going to Jerusalem. Something is going to happen to me. I'm going to die. I have an assignment." But Peter interjects, says, "See, as he stands now, you can't do this to yourself." He took him to the side and began to rebuke him. Rebuking him does not mean that maybe he was trying to cause trouble or he was insulting him or something. Do you understand? He was trying to correct him. Say, "No, master, you don't talk like that." But let's see the next verse, Jesus' response. I want you to read it. "But he turned and said unto Peter, 'Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men.'" So Jesus is saying that if you don't place value on the things that he places value on, he says, you know, it's scary. Jesus called him. He says, "Satan, get thee behind me, for you do not savor the things that be of God." So if you don't place value on the things that God places value on, this is Jesus' response to it. It is satanic when we don't place value on those things of Christ. For example, you come to church and you're supposed to worship, but you sit down and you do nothing about it, it's not accepted of Christ. It is not the biblical way. The Bible tells us in his fullness is what? Fullness of joy. In his presence, there's fullness of joy. Hallelujah. So this is Jesus' response. So we must place value. Place value on the things that God places value on. Let's see another scripture. Matthew 12 verse 46. It says, "While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him." The him there is Jesus, desiring to speak with Jesus. The next verse. "The one said unto him, 'Behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee.'" The next verse. "But he answered and said unto him that told him, 'Who is my mother and who are my brethren?'" Don't go further. Don't try this at home. You know when you're watching wrestling and they tell you, don't try it. African mothers, they will roast you. Like, "I want to see my child." And he's responding to, hey, Jesus Christ. You know that kind of beating that while you were yet speaking, the child has received more than enough. Jesus said, "Who is my mother?" That sounds like an insult, right? Who is my mother? But let's follow Jesus' priority. Are you ready? Let's follow what Jesus says in the next verse. And he stretched forth his hands towards his disciples. Hey! And said, behold, my mother and my brethren. Glory! So Jesus is placing his biological race, his biological family, he's putting it under. And he's placing the spiritual family above. Do you understand me? His mother came, but he said, who is my mother? Who is my brethren? Then he stretched forth his hands, like the way I'm stretching forth my hands to you. He says, this is my mother. These are my brethren. We belong to the family of Christ. Say with me, I belong to the family of Christ. We see Jesus' priority. Jesus places his spiritual family above his earthly family. That means we must do the same. Your tight friends, tight friends, should come from the house of God. Your bond, relationship, it should come from the house of God, because Jesus places priority on it. Do you understand me? Jesus places priority on the church family. You know, some people, they will say, oh, I get one G outside. I get one friend, my tight friend, my close friend. You know, when I was preparing for this service, the Lord pointed something to me, and I want to talk to us about it. And when he was talking to me about it, he showed me the picture of a person, even if I'm not going to mention the name of the person, but I feel God wants to address it. You are in the family of Christ. Possibly you've been there for 2 months, 3 months, 5 months, 1 year, and the church sees you as, oh, that shield guy. That quiet guy or that quiet lady, he's introverted. He does not talk too much. But that is not the real you. When you go outside, you bring out the real you. You talk, you jump, you dance, you play, you say all the things you want to say. You are happy. But when you come to church, you're looking. God is telling you today that is not the right way. That is not the right pattern. Say with me, that is not the right pattern. The real you should come out in the family of Christ. People in the family of Christ should know you. Oh, this is my brother. This is how she is. Do you understand me? It's a family. We have a bond together. We have a relationship. We have something. Praise God. Praise God. So if you are that person, you come to the church and you stay quiet, but when you go home, when you meet your friends out there, oh, you have the things you do. Oh, Jesus. Praise God. It shouldn't be so. The Bible calls it satanic. We saw it, right? So we must learn how to place priority. Place priority. Now, let me show you. Matthew 18 verse 20. Matthew 18 verse 20 says, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Where two or three are gathered. They are not just gathered, but they are together. Where two or three are gathered together. Jesus said, that is where I used to like that kind of place. You know, let me also share the example of our least steward. You know, he made this point one time. He said, let's say, for example, you go to a cinema. Maybe you go with two or three persons and you enter the cinema. There are lots of people in the cinema, but you decided to sit with these three persons that you came with. Do you know why? You have a relationship with them. You know them, right? Let's say maybe you sat in the third row and somebody randomly from the back is trying to go out, and then you call the person and say, where are you going to? It looks awkward, right? The person might even turn, looking at you like, who are you? Do I know you? That suspicious kind of look. But if you, the person you came with, is asking you, girl, where are you going to? Does it look awkward? It doesn't. Because you came together. You know yourselves. Even if there are thousands of people there, you are seated together. You have a relationship. That's the same thing. Jesus, the Bible is saying, when we are gathered and we are together, he says he is in the midst. He knows you. He knows me. He enjoys such fellowship. Hallelujah. He enjoys such fellowship. He says, where two or three are gathered, there am I in the midst of them. We are more than two, right? We are more than three. So Jesus is here. Glory! Hallelujah. And we are not connected based on class or just social status. We are connected because of Christ. Acts 2 verse 1. It says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Are you seeing it? They were one. They were all with one accord. With one accord. In one place. So even if we have a universal church, we also have that bond in Christ. That bond in Christ. In one accord. So when we gather, we are gathered in one accord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Ephesians 3 verse 14. Ephesians 3 verse 14. I want to show you that you are not alone. You belong to a family. You belong to a family. And in this family, God knows you. Say with me, God knows me. God knows me. Praise God. Can we read it together? Ephesians 3 verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. 15. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Of whom the whole family. Are you seeing it? Of whom the whole family. Of whom the whole family in heaven and on earth is named. So you have brethren. You have brothers and sisters in heaven. Even if you are here on earth, you have brethren in heaven. Praise God! Isn't this beautiful? Oh, say thank you, Jesus. Say thank you, Jesus. Say with me, I am not alone. I am not alone. I belong to the family of Christ. I belong to the family of Christ. I belong to the family of Christ. Hallelujah. Let me show you another scripture that buttresses that. Mark chapter 10, verse 28. Mark 10, 28. We'll read to 30. Mark 10, 28. It says, then Peter began to say unto him, oh Jesus. Then Peter began to say, okay. Then Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, no man talks like Jesus. Verily I say unto you, that assurance, you know, when you just hear that statement, it suits your heart. Verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or land for my sake and for the gospels, but he shall receive an hundredfold. Hey! Now in this time, houses, and brethren, and sisters, and mothers. Hey, you're not shouting glory. Let me read it again. But he shall receive. You know what is happening here is, it felt like the disciples were kind of thinking about where they had left. Like, see, we have left a whole lot of things. We have left our wives. Because of this thing we believe in. Because we believe in you. Have you been in that situation where you just sat down and you are like, this step I want to take, is it worth it? Like when myself and my husband were thinking about our move to Abuja, we're like, ah, God, the church in Port Harcourt, the house in Port Harcourt, Lord, what is your plan for us in Abuja? That's the same thing here. They are asking Jesus, see, we have left a whole lot of things, so what becomes of us? So Jesus is saying, the brethren, brothers and sisters that you will receive is not just for this earth. But he says, both now and eternal. Do you understand? So that means you must not joke with that brother you have. You must not joke with that sister in Christ. You know, many times we place that utmost priority to our bloodline, our direct siblings. But you know that if that person is not born again and the person dies, you will never see that person again. So who is now your true family? Is it the one you will never see again? God forbid, you will see them again in the name of Jesus. But I'm saying that it is the person who is born again in the family of Christ. That is the relationship that continues to eternity. That is the relationship that Jesus accounts for. He says, both in this earth, so as myself and Moniha, we know ourselves in church. We know ourselves in church. She's a daughter of Christ. The relationship is going sweet on earth, but it will also continue in heaven. Ah! Is that not something I should invest in? You know, Jesus is a master in business. He does not just start something and then he says, okay, all right, now we don't even know how it's going. Let's rethink it. That's not Jesus. When he saves you, he saves you to the uttermost. When he begins a walk with you, he takes you step by step. He says, even when you fall, he will carry you. He will pick you up again. He will encourage you again. The righteous will fall how many times? But will he remain there? He won't. So we must value. Say with me, value. We must value ourselves as brothers and sisters in Christ. We must place priority because that is what Jesus showed us. He places priority on the spiritual family. See, it's a serious thing, no? It's a serious matter. Because a whole lot of people, they have time for their siblings. Oh, they will call and check on this person. Oh, they will do this. But when it comes to the church, they handle it differently. But God wants to change our mindsets today. To teach us that your brethren in Christ, it's too important to be treated that way. Hallelujah. So Jesus tells us, you will receive it all. You will receive mother, father, children. Let's see 1 Peter 5 verse 13. So Jesus shows us that we have a family, both in heaven and on earth. So this tells us that we have the universal family and also the local family. The universal family of Christ and also the local church of Christ. Praise God. Hallelujah. Are we there? It says in 1 Peter 5 verse 13, the church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, salutes you. And so doth Marcus, my son. Remember, we have the global family, the universal family, and we also have the local family. Hallelujah. Or let me put it properly. The universal church family and the local church family. Praise God. It's like somebody asking you, where are you from? You're like, oh, I'm a Nigerian. And they're like, okay, what states in Nigeria are you from? So even if God has saved us and we are all children of God, God must place you somewhere. He must place you in a family. Do you understand me? Do you understand me? He must place you in that local family, that your local church. Okay. 1 Peter 5 verse 13, it says, the church that is at Bethlehem, I say Bethlehem, oh, thank you, Jesus, that is at Babylon, elected together with you, salutes you. And so doth Marcus, my son. You know, when I was reading this scripture yesterday, I read it in NLT and it gave me a different view. It says, your sister church here in Babylon sends you greetings. And so does my son, Mark. Is Mark in the house? Glory! So just like in Abuja, we say, I bring you greetings. Where do I even know serve in Abuja? Please help me. Okay. I bring you greetings from our sister church in Gwarimpa. And so does. I also bring you greetings from the pastor, our son, Mark, in the Gwarimpa church. Glory! Rejoice, because God will expand us in every place in Abuja, all over the world. And when we stand to talk, this is how we will bring greetings. So even if all the New Breed Global, the Lord says there is New Breed Port Harcourt, there's New Breed Lagos, there's New Breed Abuja. The local church family. Do you understand me? So we are identified in Christ. Praise God. So we have established the fact that there is what? A global church. And there is a local church. Do you understand? And these are all important to God. So when you are born again, when you believe in the firstborn Jesus, you become part of the global church of Jesus. But you must be placed in a local church. Do you understand all that? Praise God. Now, I want to show you a very serious scripture. Do you know what the Bible says about people who don't believe in the family of Christ, who don't believe in the church of Christ? It is very serious. I want to show you a scripture. Psalm 68, verse 6. It says, God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in dry land. Before I explain this, give me NLT. It says, God places the lonely in families. Hey! He sets the prisoners free and gives them joy. Glory! But he makes the rebellious live in his son, scorched land. Now let's explain this. First of all, it says, God places the lonely in families. So before you accepted the Lord Jesus, we can say you were lonely, right? But God looked at you and said, ah, this is my child. I need to help this child. And then God sent preachers to teach the gospel to you, to evangelize to you. And then you opened your heart and you believed in the Lord Jesus. What's the next thing? No, let's finish the first line. It says, God places the lonely in families. So when God saves you, he puts you where? In a family. You were lonely, but now God places you and puts you in a family. Read the next line. It says, he sets the prisoners free and gives them joy. So no matter the stage, no matter the condition, God saves that man and gives him joy, puts him in a family. Then what happens to the rebellious? It says, but he makes the rebellious live in his son's scorched land. So if you are the kind that you don't believe in family, God says, ah, the Bible tells us, is what? Son's scorched land. Can you imagine that? That means you must prioritize the family. You must prioritize the family of Christ. This is how God does it. God saves you and puts you in a family and begins to work on you through that family. But many times people like to exclude themselves. They say, me by myself, I am the church. They like to exclude themselves. They like to live by themselves, do things by themselves. This is not God's pattern. Say to your neighbor, it's not God's pattern. It's not God's pattern. It says, when a man is rebellious to the gospel, he's in a dry land. But not only that, when that man who has been born again is rebellious to God's plan, instead of being in a family, he's also in a dry land. You know, I love the church family. Many times when you come to church, you listen to the word of God. Has it happened to you before that you entered into the church and it felt like you came in with a weight, but before you left the church, you couldn't find it anymore? That's the blessings of fellowship. You know, one time like that, I was sick. And do you know that when it comes to we talking about the church, it's not just about the building. What makes up the church is you and I, because we have faith in Jesus. We have a father that has called us into his body. Something happened to me one time. I was at home and I was very ill. And it was something else. Then the brethren in Port Harcourt Church, they decided to come visit me. Just a visit, right? But do you know that immediately they entered the house, I started feeling different. I felt strength enter my body. I started talking with them and laughing, the same me that was on the bed shaking. We have something together in Christ. It's not only when a boy has something with a girl. It's how we have something. No. Say to your neighbor, we have something together in Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. brethren in Christ. You're my sister in Christ. This is why sometimes you might be going through something, and God uses somebody else to help you. You can be praying and God brings a name. That's because we are connected. We are a family. We are connected in Christ. And after they left the house, I felt like, God, what just happened? There's something spiritual that had happened. Praise God. This is why Paul tells us that when he goes to the church, he's not only going to receive from them. Rather, he's not only going to give to them, but he's also going to receive from them. We sharpen ourselves in the spirit. Remember when Pastor was telling us about the armor of Christ? How you've guarded everywhere, what happens to your back? This is where your fellow believer comes in. This is where partnership comes in. We don't know how serious this is. You must take the family of Christ serious. Your relationship in the body of Christ. Say with me, I will not joke with my brother anymore. I will not joke with my sister anymore. I will love like never before. Glory! Glory! Oh, thank you, Jesus. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27 to 28, it says, now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Ye are the body of Christ, but you are also members in particulars. Say with me, I'm a member in particular. So what have we been saying so far? We are saying that the Church of Jesus Christ is a family. Glory! Let me say it again so that you respond properly. The Church of Jesus Christ is a family. And you belong to that family. I belong to the family of Christ. I belong to the family of Christ. Hallelujah. The second thing is that there is a global family and there is a local family. We've gotten these 2 points, right? The third thing is that you cannot claim to be in the global family of Christ and you don't have the local family. Praise God. The fourth thing, the family bond or the family spirit of the church is such a big deal to God. We've talked about these things, right? Let's move on. Praise God. So now, the first family of Christ, it comes with a responsibility. This family we have come into bestows on us responsibilities. Say with me, responsibilities. Responsibility number one. We have a responsibility to love one another. If you know New Breed so well, that is our biggest culture. To love one another. 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 9 says, but as touching brotherly love, read it with me, one to go. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not I write unto you. Oh, media. Okay, praise God. Let me read from my end. If you have your Bibles, please read with me. Let's go. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. To love one another. It says, I don't need to come and be teaching. Galatians 6 verse 10. So we have therefore opportunity. Let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Mark that word, especially. Especially. So the Bible teaches us and commands us to do good unto all men, but especially unto the household of faith. The NLT tells us, it says, therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. Are you seeing this? He is calling the assembly of those who believe a family. And he's saying that we must prioritize this one. So if you are doing good unto all men, you must increase it in the family of faith. Praise God. You must increase it. You must be conscious of it in the family of faith. 1 Peter 2:17 tells us, it says, honor all men. Honor all men. Love the brethren. Love the brethren. Now, talking on the matter of forgiveness, Jesus explains this in Matthew 18, verse 23 to 35. And our list steward has also explained it to us. Jesus told the story of how a man owed his master 10,000 talents. But he begged his master, and his master forgave him. But he, as a fellow servant, owed 100 pence. His fellow servant owed him 100 pence, not talents, 100 pence. And at least what has also, you know, explained that maths to us. He says 100 pence is 4 months' salary. 100 pence is 4 months' salary. One talent is 15 years' wages. So multiply one talent, which is 15 years' wages, times 10,000. It gives you 150 years' wages. Compare it. 150 years' wages and what? And 400 pence. 4 months' salary. Compare it. 150 with 4 months. And the Bible tells us, Jesus, discussing the story, he says that the master pardoned this one. 150, he let him go. But this guy saw his other brother and said, no, you must pay me my 4 months' salary. That's the same way God looks at you. When you refuse to forgive, when you refuse to forgive your brother and sister in Christ, God looks at you like, do you know what I've done for you? Do you know how much I have paid for you? Why hold this small grudge? Why hold it? I will show them. I will show them. Why hold it? Christ did not say that. He paid. And when you even read that scripture, it tells us that because of the stubbornness of this man, refusing to forgive his fellow servant, the Bible says that he was, his Lord commanded that he be sent out to the tormentors. You know, many times when you don't forgive, you expose yourself to different things. You expose yourself to sickness, to pain. Say with me, I have a heart of forgiveness towards my brethren. My heart is filled with love. My heart is filled with love. I will love like Christ did because I have him in my heart. Glory! 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 Praise God. Christ has done it all for us. So he wants us to be that example. He has brought us into the family. He wants us to hold ourselves in unity, in faith, in love, in bond. Not seeking evil of somebody else, but seeking good. Fellowship. Strengthening one another in the faith. Praise God. Say with me, I am that man. I am that woman. I am that man. I am that woman that strengthens his brother, that strengthens the sister. Praise God. This is how God wants it to be. You forgive. You know, I was talking to a sister recently, and I was so surprised how she kept on bringing something that had happened over. I was like, girl, what are you doing? Oh, this one do like this. This one now do like this. Oh, this person did this to me. You're hurting yourself. You know, a beloved friend in PH came to meet me one time, and she was like, see, I'm tired of this, my friend. I just want to seek counsel from you. I don't know if I should just leave her. She was telling me that something that happened over 5 years ago, the girl is still hurting. Is that not demonic spirit? So sometimes when you refuse to forgive your brethren, when you refuse to forgive that person, you don't know what you are opening up yourself to. Jesus said, I had let go. The Lord let go of 150. Is it 150? 1,000. One what? 150 years. And somebody is still fighting. For how many? Chai. So I want to encourage us. I want to stir us up as believers in Christ. Let us love and let us forgive. Praise God. Praise God.